Okay, thank you very much, Nicholas, again, and to Capital Link for organizing such a great event. It's great to be back here for the third time, and thank you for organizing such a very good agenda, and also giving me and DNV the chance to moderate, I think, a very exciting topic which should interest everyone inside this room and probably outside this room as well, namely the blue economy and also the pathway to green shipping. We have a great panel with us today, very exciting panel, and I'm looking forward to hear from them, and I'm sure you're looking forward to hear from them too. But before we hear from them, I just want to take the opportunity to kind of set the stage for today's discussion. So basically, driven by regulations, driven by IMO's decarbonization goals, driven by pressure from cargo owners, from charters, from financiers, from society, from people inside this room, outside this room, shipping's historic voyage towards full decarbonization is, if not underway, at least the course is now set. So IMO's targets is clear: full-scale decarbonization at or around 2050, 20% reduction by 2030, and 70% reduction by 2040. And the question that I remain hopeful that our esteemed panel will help us answer: will we get there? And if so, how do we get there? As usual, many in our industry, they are waiting to see what will happen. That's typically what happens when there is new regulatory development. But now it's definitely the time for leaders in this industry to really step up, and that means making smart decisions now that can really help accelerate the maritime green transition. Full decarbonization will require a large-scale transition to carbon-neutral fuels. But today's reality, and I'm quite sure tomorrow's reality as well, is that still 93% of the world fleet is still running on conventional fuels. And large-scale supply of carbon-neutral fuels remain somewhat uncertain. In DNV, as you might know, we do an annual report called the Maritime Forecast to 2050. We did so again this year for the eighth time. And this year, we have tried to explore how this kind of situation can be turned around using pathways involving operational needs, technology solutions. So with, of course, there is a range of uncertainties about the future. The future will be always uncertain. We must accept that this transition will definitely not be rapid, and this challenge needs to be faced with certain pragmatism. Simulations in our report reinforce definitely, and I think that's the key word in our report for this year, is how energy efficiency is going to be essential to both operating profitably into 2030 and 2040, but also operating compliantly into this new decades, until the supply of carbon-neutral fuels become more feasible. And indeed, the few things we know for certain is that investing in energy-saving technologies, energy-saving devices, and reducing fuel consumption creates significant savings and should be part of any future and, of course, also present business strategy. In our report, in our simulations, we have estimated that operational and technological energy efficiency measures may reduce the fuel consumption between 4% and 16% by 2030, and it actually has to reduce fuel consumption in that range if shipping is to comply with the first milestone, which is 20% reduction in 2030. Carbon capture and storage from continued use of fossil fuels is also something that's getting more and more attention and which definitely can reduce the emissions as well. But infrastructure for really handling this and storing this needs to be developed. Japan and Japanese ship owners have been very active in this segment, and I'm also curious to hear from today's panel how you see that development. But regardless of a possible promising future for the new kind of CO2 trade segment, it is, from a present perspective, quite clear that there will be no single technology and no single fuel that will dominate the future. We are definitely looking into a multi-fuel and multi-technological solution future for shipping. And that really underlines the complexity of the choices that the industry will have to take going forward. And this is also a complexity that I remain hopeful that our distinguished panelists will help us with. And with that, as a small backdrop and as a small challenge to our panel, I would just like to start with quickly introducing our esteemed members. We have Ikeda-san here from K-Line. He is now executive officer of greenhouse gas reduction strategy and also shipbuilding. And I think this year he also added advanced technology to his responsibility and his title. Congratulations on that. Next to him, we have Kashima-san. Kashima-san has worked in NYK since 1986, so close to 40 years. Also great achievement. He's been corporate officer since 2018 and is today senior managing executive officer in NYK and also chief executive of NYK's technical headquarters. Very good. Next to him, we have Okawa-san. Okawa-san is actually a former colleague of Ikeda-san, but he is today a senior advisor for Purus Marine. He joined K-Line in 1983 and retired actually this March from K-Line, but he has then spent more than 40 years in this industry, engaged initially in the container and car carriers for the first period and then later in the energy transport segment for more than 30 years. And this summer, he joined the Purus Marine as a senior advisor. And then lastly, we have a fellow Norwegian on the panel, Mr. Ronny Våge. He's the global sales director for 044, which is a software provider helping owners and operators to manage compliance and accounting and reporting on EU ETS and CII, and I guess also Fuel EU Maritime as well. Ronny was previously a regional manager and VP of sales for Scanridge, which is a new Norwegian maritime technology provider. He is, as mentioned, Norwegian, but he's today based in Singapore. So we have a good mix of Norwegians and Japanese on the panel and on the moderating side. So with that as basis, I'm hoping for some clarity regarding decarbonization going forward. And then I'll start actually with the first question. Three of these panelists were actually present at Capital Link last year in 2023. So I thought it might be prudent to ask them, what has changed since last year? When it comes to maritime green transformation in shipping from your perspective, is it looking more optimistic? Are you more pessimistic? Or is it more or less the same as last year? So, seeing that Ikeda-san is sitting closest to me, I'll give you the chance to respond first.
Thank you, Stian. I'm Ikeda from K-Line. I'm in charge of technical. Looking back 1 year ago, at the time I said we are very anxious about Russia and Ukraine situation, but no Red Sea situation happened. So we also very surprised to happen in Red Sea, around the Red Sea. And according to that, we affecting our trading route, we have to avoid passing through the Suez Canal transit by Cape Good Hope. So we need more capacity, but as previous presentation, cargo demand is still strong, even though the oil sector, container, car carrier, LNG tankers. So to be honest, we need more ship. But at the same time, the new building slot is limited. So we are facing a certain high level ship price as like a LNG carrier. So it's a very dramatic change from 1 year ago. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ikeda-san. Let's move over to NYK and Kashima-san. Any reflections from your point?
Thank you very much. Yeah. Good morning. My name is Kashima of NYK Line. I'm responsible for technical supervision in my company. So, 1 year has passed. So, as NYK, we published NYK Group decarbonization story in last year of November. In such paper, so the point is that we committed to seek for the balancing both reduction of the GHG and also so our sustainable company profit for the coming year 2050 by utilizing alternative fuel and also by using all technologies like that, so energy efficient devices and also, for example, low print paint and also some air lubrication devices, something like that. So also we are now trying to enhance our profitability in the shipping industry. Then the secondly, so as promised in the past session in Capital Link Forum last year, so NYK successfully delivered ammonia powered engine so tugboat in Tokyo Bay in last August. So far, the vessel operation is operating very good. And so we are now accumulating or collecting some very necessary and executive data, so operated by ammonia-powered engine. So this is very good for the industry. And then maybe so 2 years later, in year 2026, also we promised, so we are now so trying to build. So name is AFMGC, ammonia-fueled, so medium-sized cargo carrier. So the engine would be made by Japan Engine in Japan. So far, testing of the so two-stroke ammonia engine made by so Japan Engine is very fine. So we are now expecting so successfully deliver this vessel in the 2 years later. Maybe this is also the world's first vessel powered by so ammonia. That's the second point. Also, third point is related to the liquefied CO2 project in Japan. So in the last July, we published, so as a ship owner operator, like so Ikeda-san's K-Line and also NYK and Mitsui agreed with the Japan major ship building company like NSY, Mitsubishi, so to form the so-called Japan consortium, which so provides some the standardized so ship design for the transportation of the liquefied CO2 of the so LP, so low pressure type. So now the purpose is to standardize the very important so LCO2 vessel for the type of the standardized ships. Then so we are now so willing to take responsibility to lead this kind of the argument so among the parties concerned, including ship operator and also ship so building companies and also all parties concerned, including end users. CO2 logistics is very much complicated. So that's why we need to standardize this kind of the concept, at least within so Japan. So especially ideally, we like to enhance the shipbuilding company in Japan, so to support them. So that is our so aim for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Kajima-san. Okawa-san from Tourist Marine, you are representing a company that has its origins outside of Japan. Do you have any other perspectives from your point of view?
Thank you, Stein. Actually, I was not here last year, so I would not be the right person to answer something, say something. But you now changed the question, so I missed something about that. So the but basically this the theme today, the blue economy and technology, and what the impact to the shipping company and the shipping related company for the green shipping to achieve. The aspect should be the firstly the economics, the those kind of the green shipping fuel to achieve green shipping fuel. That is the in comparison with the conventional fuel like the oil based one, the cost is much more expensive. So how to be how to achieve the economics? That is the key. And then that means that definitely the, those private companies like shipping companies need to have support from those the governmental organizations. And that is the one issue. And secondly, the regulation or a rule have to be established to operate for those vessels. And like the case of like Kashima-san and Ikeda-san says, those the new fuels, the for instance ammonia, that is the completely different from not completely but different from the conventional fuel, and that's why for those the how to the achieve the safety on the vessel and how to achieve the safety for the loading and discharging port, those will be different from the existing say fuel type. So the how to achieve the to keep the safety, safe operation of the vessel and the terminal and others, how to regulate to achieve safety. That is also the, one of the key issues to focus on. So that those two issues, the which we need to seriously consider how to solve it to achieve those green shipping in future. That is the, my initial comment.
Good, good. Ronny, you are kind of representing a different, I'll say, you're not a ship owner yourself, you're a solution provider. How do you see kind of the world from last year to this year?
So thank you, Stian, and thank you again to the organizers for inviting me back. I was also here last year, so I guess I can comment at least in part where I think things have moved forward since then. You're right. I am not a ship owner, at least not yet, and come into this as a solution provider to the industry. I think if we talk about it more from like a general perspective, I think we've seen a little bit more realism since last year, with Maersk moving away from their initially grandiose methanol plans. More vessels ordered on the LNG side, which we've been doing for some time now. I think we've seen advancements in several other areas. We're moving forward with ammonia more than we had in the year leading up to the previous year's event. More projects, at least almost on the water, on the ammonia side, and also a lot of work being done around the regulatory side and how to handle this fairly dangerous substance. So I think we're seeing some positive developments with a little bit of realism. On your question of whether I'm sort of optimistic or pessimistic compared to last year, I'd say neither nor. I mean, it's kind of a bit of the same, but a bit of realism I think is very good. I think another positive development in terms of driving this is that we now actually have a price on carbon and on emissions with the introduction of EU ETS. This year, and soon with the introduction of Fuel EU, there is a cost of emissions which we've never had before. And at least I believe that we will drive this further when we start pricing the emissions, which we haven't done in the past, which will also further drive the development on various sides. I think it's also positive that we're seeing ever more informed discussions around the use of nuclear. I think it was recently, even this week or last week, that Amazon invested $500 million, I think, into the development of small-scale nuclear. And when serious and very well-respected companies and operators such as Amazon put weight and money behind the development on the nuclear side, I think we will also drive that forward much faster than we have been able to do so far. And hopefully that will also be to the benefit of the shipping industry. I think I'll leave it at that.
Very good, Ronis. So I can interpret you as a kind of neutral-ish optimist or...
I would say so, yes.
Neutralist.
Yep. And I think also if we can add one more thing, and I think one thing we have seen too little of and still should see more of is more coordination, sort of land versus sea, because is it really optimal for the planet if we use so-and-so fuels on the water rather than using it for more efficient energy production on the land side, for example? Mm. Because it's the overall decarbonization element globally that makes a difference, not whether one industry or the other does something. Adding that to it.
Good. Is this neutral neutral slash optimistic view shared by the rest of the panelists, Ikeda-san, Kashima-san, Okawa-san? Yeah, all of you.
Energy transition.
So, with respect to decarbonization, are you more optimist or less optimist than 1 year ago?
1 year ago.
Or
it's harder to say, but in my private opinion, less optimistic because we still struggling the bunkering supply chain like methanol and ammonia. Even though the Kashima-san knock on the door and open the door, but we need a more supply chain in the world. So even though 1 year later, we still struggling, I guess.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
So more neutral pessimist than neutral optimist, maybe.
I should say neutral optimist.
Okay. Very good. Okay, and then let's jump over to the next question. and as I mentioned in my introduction here, from our side, from DNV side, and I think that's a sentiment that's maybe shared by the industry as well, is that operational and technical energy efficiency measures, we believe it can reduce fuel consumption by 4 to 16% to 2030. I'm not sure if that's shared by U.S. ship owners, but. But anyway, do you believe there's still an untapped potential in energy efficiency? And do you agree that energy efficiency is still kind of a low-hanging fruit when it comes to decarbonization? Maybe Kashima-san can get the honor of starting. Yeah.
So, for this question, so it's very difficult. But so at least energy efficiency so effort is most important part in the shipping industry. So especially this effort would be at least up to year 2040. This is a very good viable effort in this industry. Especially as NYK, we are now investigating or some study about the so-called optimum navigation and optimum operation by using collecting data. So utilizing some satellite and also the number of the data is anonymous, so very huge. So we need to enhance our ability to analyze the data itself for the such optimum operation and navigation. But we have very huge potential for this part. I believe so.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much, Kashima-san. Yeah. You touched upon the digitalization and gathering of data. Is that also where K-Line sees a potential to optimize the operation? Or how do you see kind of energy efficiency and the role it's going to be playing going forward?
To be honest, K-Line has to do many things for the digitalization because we also have the monitoring and analyzing system on board, and also that we need to set up the high speed connectivity between the ship and shore by a satellite. And even though currently the ship's crew YouTube or something, but maybe next step that we need a big data transportation between the ship and shore. And then set up our the data center in the shore side and to make a integrated analyze in by ship's crew. Superintendent. So the still we need some time because but we step forward by step by step. That's our current situation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ikeda-san. Okawa-san, from your perspective, energy efficiency still a role to still an untapped potential there, you believe?
Yeah, definitely it will be. And having those kind of efficiency increase, like the summarized by Kashima-san and Ikeda-san, I believe that we can achieve that the shipping company can achieve the target set by the GHG by 2030 and even 2040. But in addition to that, the also the alternative fuels like ammonia and LNG is now gradually increasing. But especially for the LNG side, the container vessels actually the consuming a lot of fuel in comparison with other type of ships. The LNG will be the very most likely solution to reduce the CO2 emission and to comply with the GHG. So combining for those the energy efficiency increase and also the alternative fuel, we will achieve and the shipping company will achieve the target set by those the imposed by the IMO rules. And like the case of my company, the Purus, we are looking at carefully for those the energy transition for the fuel also. That's why the Purus invested already for 9 MGCs to mainly focusing for the carrying the ammonia. Of course, MGC is basically to transport the LPG, but the main focus from Purus side, that is the ammonia, because that we believe that will happen. But not only for, say, to the fuel, ammonia as fuel, but also for the fuel to the power plant. That would be the issue. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Okawa-san. Again, Ronny, you're representing a bit of a different segment here, but it's definitely in the digital sphere of things. Do you have any viewpoints when it comes to the kind of the potential of digitalization and its impact on operational savings and efficiency savings?
Sure. Thanks. Thanks for that question. I think absolutely yes, and I do believe that sort of digitalization, decarbonization go hand in hand. Very particularly in the sense that the more you can measure and the more information you have, the better data you have, the better decisions you can make, and the better you can actually both monitor and manage what you're trying to achieve. Without it, you cannot. So I think there's still, obviously, DNV are experts in this, and I also believe what those reports say, that there is still a lot to be done on the efficiency side, and you need to be doing a lot of work on the data side and the digital side in parallel to all of the more hardware type investments. But again, those all need to be measured so that you know exactly how much your efficiency is or energy efficiency is, and I think it's a case for not just for shipping for any industry, but we do love chasing sort of lofty futuristic solutions, and then tend to oversee the more boring small reductions that can be done right now, because it's nice to be out there talking about future fuels or like the larger things that are many years ahead of us. Rather than doing the little nitty-gritty work that we need to do every day to drive efficiency across so many different segments.
Very good. I think I'll continue segue over to the next, which is kind of linked to digitalization, and that's you know, this year we had the introduction of the EU ETS, and we have next year FuelEU Maritime is coming. And as you mentioned earlier, Ronny, carbon emission is getting a price, and lower carbon fuel is getting being mandated. Do you, from your side, seeing it a bit from the outside, do you believe that the shipping value chain is prepared for these regulatory schemes? And which kind of steps do you think the industry needs to take? Because, of course, this will, as you mentioned, will lead to a lot of more mandated reporting, emission reporting, complex reporting. And do you see the industry as prepared for this?
Thank you for that question. I would say, I mean, in general, shipping tends to take a rather sort of retroactive approach to all these things, not really dealing with something until it has been introduced. That is also our experience as 044 and as a solution provider, helping owners and operators manage EVTS and very soon also FuelEU. That the majority were not prepared. Some were slightly more prepared. I think the closer you sit to Brussels, maybe the more prepared you are. The further away you are from Brussels, the less prepared you might be for this. What we see is that even now that we're almost a year into something like EU ETS, many companies have not yet done very much at all. They have not settled any EUAs. They have not invoiced anything. They have not. They are not at all prepared to actually settle this by September next year. And then on top of that comes another regulation from January 2025, and a more complex version of EU ETS from 2026. Because I think we can all agree that it would be better had we had a global regulation through IMO. The EU rolled shipping into this because the IMO never got there, and they still haven't gotten there. I think we will, but we also believe that some of these regional regulations won't be removed, which means that you will find yourself still with several or multiple regulations to deal with across different regions, some global, some local. And it makes it ever more complicated to stay compliant as an owner operator. Obviously, as a technology solution provider, we believe that better technology solutions can help you manage this in a more efficient way. Again, back to digitalization helping also drive decarbonization. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Ronny. Kashima-san from NYK, you are a big ship owner and you're standing in the middle of this. How is your preparation and how do you see this industry preparation?
Yeah, so thank you, Stian. Yeah, this is for the EU ETS and also EU FuelEU Maritime. So it's a very much complicated regulation. So we are very far from the far from the knowledge about this kind of the new rules. So we are now struggling to comply with this regulation first. But basically, as so ship operator NYK, we are expecting the global, so unified single, this kind of rules, hopefully so made by IMO. Yeah, we are expecting this kind of the single rule to comply with this kind of the regulation. So it was very good to accelerate to comply with the zero carbon society in the shipping industry. So, but at this moment it is very difficult. So we are now, as it said, we are operating more than 800 vessels for the all type of vessels, so tanker and so container vessel and also the dry bulk and domestic and so hauling. So from such viewpoint, it is very difficult to find out. So regional regulation is not so good for us. So that is my observation.
Thank you very much for your point of view, Kashima-san. Quite interesting. Since we are closing in on the end of this session, I think we'll move over to what I in the introduction mentioned about onboard carbon capture as a kind of both a realistic decarbonization alternative, but also definitely a business opportunity for the ship owners. And especially the Japanese ship owners, as mentioned, has been very active in this. And Kashima-san, also in your introduction, you also mentioned NYK's kind of efforts into this space. Maybe I could hear from Okawa-san first, from Purus. How do you see kind of onboard carbon capture as a solution? And how do you also see the business potential in the CO2 carbon trade shipping, new kind of segment? How do you see those opportunities?
Thank you, Stein, giving me the opportunity to what we are doing for those onboard CCS. Actually, the Purus has the so to say the short sea the container trade in Holland, and for that particular container vessel, that's not the big one but the small one, we are now testing those the carbon capture the device on board, and the purpose is that of course that to contribute to the CO2 emission reduction. But on top of that, once we succeeded in to develop the technically, then that can be also used for the other shipping companies like that. So for that viewpoint that we are now doing like that. And of course, that not only for those onboard CO2, the CCS, the carbon capture devices, the definitely we are looking at the liquefied CO2 transport as the Japan is doing, and also the Norway is doing, like a Northern Light. So we also try to find out what should be we can contribute for that CO2 transport in future. That is what we are now doing.
Thank you very much, Okawa-san. It'll be interesting to hear more in the future about your experience with the onboard carbon capture, for sure. I think Ikeda-san and K-Line, you have also been both testing out onboard carbon capture, and you have also been focused on the business opportunities in the CO2 trade segment. What's your comments to this?
Yes. Wikiline is participating in the Northern Light project. It's a Norwegian national project from next month, actually, coming soon. And we, as the ship manager of the three vessels of the mid-pressure, mid-temperature LCO2 carrier in Norwegian domestic transportation, and we expect to have some actual feedback from the, by actual operation of the LCO2 transportation. And then we expect, because recently the interesting from our client is very increasing for the LCO2 transportation anywhere, even though the domestic in Japan or from Japan to East Asia area. So we may have a team up for all stakeholders and to how can I say develop the some LCO2 transportation. And also the we try to find some possibility to the onboard carbon capture, but it also needs some value chain, because even though that we accumulate CO2 on board, but we have to discharge it somewhere and to treat or to inject or something. So anyway, we have to team up all stakeholders to develop together for future LCO2 carrier, also the onboard capture system. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ikeda-san. And with some few seconds left, Kashima-san, do you have anything to add to to this? Or
on board CCS?
Yes.
Yeah. So as NYK, we are partner of the Mask McKinney Center, Copenhagen, and also GCMD of the Singapore. In this organization, we are very much talking about this new technology, namely, so onboard CCS together with the partners. So there are a lot of interesting, so new technology related to onboard CCS. So especially for the, so as so Ikeda-san says, so after discharging CO2, the logistics is too much complicated. But if we can find out some end user who can accept this kind of the CO2 in the factory, so it's, in such case, we can accelerate that value chain. So for such so prospect, LNG transport station vessel would be the first vessel to accept this kind of the onboard CCS. That is our feeling.
Very good, and also very timely for, because I think we have now spent our well-used time. I think I can summarize that there is some optimism with respect to both onboard carbon capture potential and also the business opportunities in CO2 trade segment. Nicholas, should I close, or do you have any questions from your side?
No.
All good. And then I'll just again thank Nicholas and Capital Link for the opportunity to have this panel. I would like to thank the panelists for giving very excellent answers. Thank you very much. Yes.
Thank you for a great panel. Thank you for keeping the time. Yeah, we have to have a photo, of course.